And now, Capital Chat, the Community Connection, KINY.
All right, good morning and welcome to Capital Chat on KINY 800 AM 94.9 FM. It is just about 8:33. In the studio, we have Margie and, I'm going to try to get the name right, Dr. Angela Cuevilla.
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 Perfect.
All right. Coy like the fish. Cuevilla. Wow. I had it right up until I had to do it. So, okay. And we are discussing Affirming Our Identities, a mental health professionals conference that is going to take place at Centennial Hall tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. And it actually launches tonight at the Crystal Saloon, 6 to 8 at the Crystal Saloon.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me, what exactly is Affirming Our Identities Mental Health Professionals Conference? What's it all about?
Thank you. Thank you for having us. This is Margie, and we... excuse me.
Yeah.
We are... providing the opportunity for mental health counselors, case managers, healers to come and learn from people with lived experience to
okay.
talk about their identities or their culture, and so that we can be more competent as therapists and case managers. And we have 26 different breakout sessions and 5 keynotes, which are dynamic speakers that some are national speakers that have come in. And our own Dr. Tina Woods from Clinkett and Haida will be opening speaker.
Okay.
Yeah, we're very excited.
Now, this is a 3-day conference.
Yes.
And it's an all-day, all 3 days.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that there's a lot of folks involved with this.
There's less than 200.
I know there's several organizations. There's plenty of organizations in town that this is going to benefit.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can think of many just off the top of my head. And it's important that we discuss identities and cultures and backgrounds and get to know each other. And, I mean, that's how we're going to help people, right?
Right. Well, and for myself, what Marty said, so the number of people. So I'm from Florida. We have people coming from, I can't even tell how many states. Florida, North Carolina,
Hawaii.
Pennsylvania, Hawaii, Oregon, Colorado, Denver. So we have people from all over the country that came together over the last 6 months to really bring our experience as clinicians, our lived experience as humans. We're talking about neurodiversity, gender identity, sexual identity, but really as clinicians that do this work to help other providers locally and nationwide be more inclusive, be more affirming, kind of fill in some gaps that we all want to learn and know to be affirming to our clients and the people that we work with, but really creating a platform to, for 3 days, just affirming all identities that people are bringing in and trying to learn from each other and with each other.
Yeah, so. I think it's very important, and I think what you're doing is something that's been needed for a while, from what I've seen. I think, generations ago, it wasn't something that was accepted. We didn't even accept the fact that many of us needed to see a therapist in any way, shape, or form.
Yep.
But now, times have changed, and minds have opened, and horizons have been broadened, so to speak.
Absolutely.
So this is going to launch tonight, though, at the Crystal Saloon, 6 to 8 right?
Absolutely.
And what is to be expected there this evening?
I think tonight will be a little bit more informal, but people will receive their name tags. If you haven't registered for this, there's still time to register. There's a website. AffirmingConsultantsAndCoaches.com is where the, or if you Google Affirming Our Identities Conference, it will take you to that.
Okay.
And so the people who are registered are welcome to come, mingle, start to network with other professionals and other folks, and eat pizza and have a drink or two if they want. And then we're heading down to the Alaskan for a drag show. That is not normally on a Tuesday night in Juneau, but I thought it would be a fun addition to have for the folks, especially from out of town and some of the states that it's illegal to have a drag show.
Are you kidding me?
No. Yeah, some of the states, Georgia, Alabama.
Yeah, some states are banning public performances of drag shows. So we're kicking off right away with trying to just, you know, be affirming, inclusive, and welcoming people in a casual, fun environment. Yeah.
Come to Alaska to have fun.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm telling you, I'm already ready to come back. This is a great place.
I'm sorry, but that I find that to be just absolutely ridiculous. And that's, I mean, really, I don't normally voice my opinion on things like that, but you know what? That's lighten up. Oh my gosh. Okay. You can take a look at the website. The website is affirmingconsultantsandcoaches.com, and it's got all the information on there. And if you feel that maybe you had more knowledge and awareness of someone's lived experiences, you could help them more thoroughly.
Absolutely. Right? So, you're perfect fit. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it says on the website. You'll find a lot of information on there. I love reading about this kind of a thing, and this is a very easily navigated website, by the way. You can learn all about the event, the registrations on there. You can register. Looks to me like you can register for multiple days or one day separately.
Correct. Yeah.
Find out about the sponsorship. You can add some tickets onto your checkout and learn more about affirming our identities. Awareness to action. Again, now you're from Florida. Doctor, you're from Florida.
I live in Florida. I'm from the Midwest, but I live
in
Florida.
Where in Florida?
North Central Gainesville, Florida.
So now, do you find that people are accepting of this type of a thing more there than they are here, or vice versa?
So I've been in Alaska for less than a week.
Okay.
I've lived in Florida for the last 8 years.
Okay.
So in terms of what people are accepting of, my knowledge is, you know, very less. But I can tell you from the last 5 days in Alaska, I know for me in Florida, even just being able to use a bathroom that aligns with my identity is a struggle. To walk around and have people misgender me has really been difficult in Florida. That has not happened once since I've been in Alaska. So I can't generalize to two very big states, but I can tell you Juneau and Sitka have been awesome thus far, and Florida has some struggles.
And I understand, and I'm sorry that you're having those struggles. I was basically asking you that to confirm what I've already experienced myself. I've seen that happened. I know people that's happened to. The struggles and to me, I just find that sad. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's sad because, again, I think that was why when Margie asked me to come, you know, speak at the conference, it's a no-brainer.
It is.
I think there's a lot of us in the state of Florida, mental health providers, teachers, educators, that doctors trying to all do our part and be affirming, inclusive, accepting, and it's a really tough battle.
Yeah.
So any opportunity to help, you know, shift minds, change minds is something that we're all about.
Yeah, I think opening the eyes is a great way to put it as well. People are so closed-minded, and I think that is becoming less and less, but still we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Again, this conference is tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, Centennial Hall, and the big kickoff is tonight at the Crystal Saloon, 6 till 8 tonight. Get your badge. You can get registered there. You can get registered online at, again, the website is affirmingconsultantsandcoaches.com. Now, Margie, how long have you been involved in this sort of a thing?
Ooh, I've been in private practice for about 10 years here in Juneau, and a social worker about 25 more.
Oh, wow.
Here. Yeah, all in Juneau.
Okay.
Yeah, and so for me, I really felt the need to get more expertise in here and to up the level of training in Juneau, because the chances for us to have a conference in Juneau is maybe once every 5 to 10 years. We have individual one-hour trainings, but we don't really have an opportunity to sit with each other and network and learn and grow and be challenged. And
And I think it's probably very important and nice that we have speakers and participants from all different regions and walks of life and different cultures, different backgrounds, different upbringings, and different trains of thought. To have one specific thought and just go with that is not going to work. We have to have different angles all the way around, because you're treating people with many different issues.
Absolutely.
And different struggles. And to have more angles and more perspectives is always a bonus. Thank you for joining us for Capital Chat. Is there anything else that we have missed? Anything that we need to touch on before we wrap this segment up?
Parting statement.
Yeah, we're excited. It's all happening.
So
this has been a long time in the works. So Margie's done such a great job pulling us together. So anyone, just open minds. We're all human. So I think it's a really great opportunity to just join with other people
Absolutely.
Who care about that.
And before we wrap it up, I do want to say that this is mental health professionals. That doesn't mean you have to be a doctor. It means you have to be a mental health professional. If you are, maybe a case manager, a clinician.
Lifelong learners. We have a senior rate that's half price. We have a lot, or three quarters off, actually. And so we have several seniors in the community that are interested in just learning more from people who have been an immigrant or people who have been, biracial and trying to make it in the community.
You know, this is an opportunity for education.
Yes.
Period. Yep. And education is power right there. It is what it is. It's education. And you can't go wrong. You can't have too much of it.
You can't.
So get involved. Again, it is Affirming Our Identities, and it is a huge conference for mental health professionals, and that means you. If you're listening, it means you. Okay. Centennial Hall. Tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. It kicks off tonight at the Crystal Saloon from 6 to 8. Go down there. Get registered. Get your badge. Get yourself all lined up for whichever speakers you want to go see. They'll have the entire schedule there for you. You can take a look at it. You can also register online at affirmingconsultantsandcoaches.com. Margie and Dr. Koivula. I got it right the second time around.
Awesome.
Thank you for your time, and thanks for bringing this to us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Pleasure chatting with you both. And we do have more Capital Chat coming up, so keep your ears right here. It is 8:45.
More Capital Chat next. KINY.
All right, welcome back to Capital Chat on KINY 800 AM, 94.9 FM. We've got another couple of guests in the studio. We have Craig Jennison and Hugh Pierre. I hope I got your name right, did I?
Well done, my man.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. I already screwed up one name today, so I didn't need to do another one. All right, so you guys are here to talk about Protect Juno's Future. That is an interesting website you have. First off, it's an obvious website for Juno. It's got the whale from the whale statue.
Taku.
Yeah, right off the bat. You notice it right away. You can find the website at protectjunosfuture.org. And tell us, what is Protect Juno's Future? What's it all about?
Well, thanks for having us. Protect Juno's Future is a collection of local business leaders, concerned community members that are trying to protect the tourism industry. 2001 saw three ballot initiatives filed that would have cut back visitation to Juneau by 75%. This was one of the three that they've got out there now to eliminate cruise ships on Saturdays. We know that would damage our businesses, it would damage our industry, and it would damage the community.
Okay. This initiative that's out there, is it got a lot of support right now, or what are we looking at?
Well, I don't think it's great to, guess or project on what does or does not have support. I think what's important for us to talk about is that you've got a group of people in the community, a lot of young people who see their futures in Juneau tied to tourism. And so what we're doing now is we're making sure that everybody understands the process. And the process is that, you know, anybody can go forward to the city and try to get a ballot initiative approved. What we're saying is if the community doesn't think this is the right choice, then please don't sign now. Please don't advance this. Let's not move forward. Let's make sure that we have our opportunities to provide hope for our young people, to provide a future for families in Juneau.
So I'm wondering, where did this idea come from as far as eliminate the tourists from? We need the tourists, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely. There's a couple good things here. Like, we don't pay for the infrastructure. Our community doesn't have to, you know, pay for all of the water, sewer. You know, we don't have to do that. These floating hotels come in, people visit, they have a good time, they leave, right? It's a temporary situation, and so it works really well for us. The other thing, too, is that, you know, I work for Gold Belt. So we are Juneau's Alaska Native Corporation. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we pride ourselves in is providing an opportunity for people to choose culture as a career, to allow access for sharing of culture, for growing of culture, for building cultural artifacts for demonstration, but also for sale. And these cruise ship visitors promote that beyond anything else we have in our community. And it's partially allowed for a resurgence in all of the cool cultural things you see around Juneau.
Okay. Now, I'm just reading the website while you're telling me this, so I'm kind of multitasking here a little bit. With this initiative that's out there right now, there would be, it looks like it says here that it would translate to an estimated loss of $32 million in direct spending in our community. That's just in our community, correct?
Correct, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Tourism brings a lot of dollars into this town, a lot of outside dollars into this town.
Right.
And just eliminating Saturdays alone would remove that $32 million.
Yeah, and we think it's about 400 jobs as well that would be removed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask, and I have to ask about those jobs that would be lost. Are we talking local jobs? Are we talking those specifically the local jobs that we estimate would be lost?
Jobs in Juneau, yes.
Okay.
Filled by locals.
Here in town.
Here in town. This absolutely has regional implications if this were to pass. But our numbers are, you know, we're looking at it just from a Juneau lens.
All right. When I ask about local jobs, I'm not actually asking about local people because we bring people in to work. We have to. Because we need those people to come in and work, and they're good jobs, and they live here in Juneau while they're working, and you know they pay the rent, they pay for the gas, they pay for their groceries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when I say local jobs, yeah, I mean located in Juneau. And it also says in here that it would eliminate over 137,000 passengers from the 2025 roster. It seems like an awful lot, just for Saturdays being removed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it essentially comes down to, we've done the math, I think it's 10% of our visitors come on Saturdays. So it's not a seventh, but it's closer to 10%.
All right. Now, is there the same kind of a thing going on in the other Southeast communities that you find, or are these communities banding together? Are you guys banding together with your side of it from other communities?
Yeah, I know. I know Sitka has seen a big growth in the last, since the pandemic.
Okay.
I know that there's some community efforts there to try to limit the number of people coming into town. But I don't. An organized effort like this, we're not hearing about from other communities.
Okay. All right. Do you think there's some sort of a happy middle ground that everybody could meet on? Or, do you think?
Yeah,
there should be some give and take.
Yeah, I think the community has been very proactive in the management of the industry. We signed two memorandums of agreement with the industry, unprecedented agreements. One was to limit the number of ships in town to 5 on any given day.
Okay.
The other was about waste off of the ships, not filling up our landfill.
And
now the city and the industry is working on a third. to cap the number of visitors coming into Juneau over the summer, limiting the number of people
per day.
Yeah. And size of ship. It's a multifaceted agreement that Alex Pierce, the city's tourism manager, reported on last night to the assembly. I think it was well received by the assembly. And these don't exist in other port communities. So this is the city taking a real proactive role.
And this was in response to public discussion too. And I think that's really important. This was like 2018, 2019. Some of this discussion started. 2020, 2021, there was a tourism task force that was established. People were talking about how do we have a really good relationship that has that give and take, that back and forth. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it. So again, I think it's really short-sighted for us to jump in and try to legally force an issue when Everybody's at the table already having a positive discussion. That undermines our credibility as a community.
Right.
And it just leads to legal battles as well. So We're wasting money in court and nobody wants to do that.
No. We want to come to a happy middle ground. Everybody make the compromise that they feel that they can make and come to a happy agreement, right?
Absolutely.
The website, you can learn a little bit about what we're talking about online at protectjunosfuture.org. There's a lot of information on there, and let's just leave it at that. There's a lot of information on there. There is a Learn More tab as well. It's protectjunosfuture.org. You can learn about the website, about the organization, and you can join the coalition as well as contact them.
We're very happy to talk to people.
Yeah,
so anyone has any questions, feel free to reach out. We're happy to talk to people, and it's all your neighbors.
That is everybody.
We're all local people here. It's not like this is funded by some outside entity. These are all Juneau locally owned businesses that are saying, hey, we depend on this for our future.
Yeah. And we do need the tourists, and it's a very sticky situation. It's a sticky topic to get into, but it is one of those conversations that we absolutely have to have. We've got to have those uncomfortable conversations to get to the right consequences or the right decisions. Thank you guys for bringing this in. Anything you'd like to add before we wrap this up?
Yeah, please don't sign.
Don't sign.
Talk to people, have a good time, but let people know that, you know, if you have a family here, if you want young people to stay here, please don't sign.
Okay. Again, go online and learn about the organization, the coalition. It is protectjunosfuture.org. You can learn about the economic impacts, learn everything about it before you make any kind of a decision. And don't rely just on somebody standing around with a clipboard to give you all the correct information. I've found that out the hard way myself. You know, we all do that once in a while. But again, thank you guys for coming in and speaking to us about this. And we'd like to hear some updates from you. I mean, when you have some more information. I'm guessing you're not going to have a lot until we're closer toward the end of the season, because we're still, as the deputy mayor mentioned to me earlier, we're kind of looking 2 years in advance, right? So
we're always happy to come talk tourism.
That's right. Yeah, thank you very much for having us. Have a great summer.
Appreciate it.
Thank you guys very much. That is going to do it for our Capital Chat today. This is KINY 800 AM 94.9 FM.
Every weekday morning at 8:35, the fastest community connection available. Capital Chat, KINY.